Since we have a quorum, I'll open the Senate Committee on Rules for March 6, 2009. We have a work session on two items. I will open the work session on SB 61 and SB... Well, I'll do 61 first. Can you give a brief overview?
Yes. Senate Bill 61 would add the Deputy Commissioner of Bureau of Labor and Industries to the list of public officials who are exempt from lobbyist registration and reporting requirements. The committee amendment would add the Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction to the same list. We received revenue and fiscal statements that there is no impact on the bill and also no impact on the amendments.
Okay. Do I have a motion to move the dash one on 61?
Sure. Discussion, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, discussion.
I'll hold discussion until we make until you move the major bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. It's been moved that we amend SB 61 with the dash ones. Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Do we have a main motion? Then we'll go to discussion. Motion.
I move that Senate Bill 61, as amended, be reported to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Discussion. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I see Senator Burdick has arrived.
And I love this bill, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I think part of the reason that we had the law that this bill amends was to prevent the revolving door. And I think at least part of that, the discussion revolved around limiting the number of public officials that could lobby. Yeah. You know, and I think we're going the wrong direction here. There's more and more exemptions, and the building does fill up with paid professional lobbyists who are also executives in the executive department. And it just seems to me that it would be a better environment in which to work if there were one designated from the department. And whether that was the director or somebody else, that'd be fine. But one of the interesting things is that literally on issues of importance, the room fills up with paid lobbyists, and they also happen to be people from the executive department. And I think it'd be better if we went the other direction on this thing. And, Mr. Chairman, I was prepared to offer you a courtesy vote, which is obviously not necessary now, so I'll be voting against.
Okay. Along with the discussion, the one thing I would like to indicate as well, I understand Senator Farioli's concern. This is merely adopting the same process as we have for other deputies. I have actually seen, I would think that you would not want to obligate the Secretary of State or the Treasurer to be the one that always has to come before the legislature or the Labor Commissioner or the Superintendent of Public Instruction. So,
Mr. Chair, may I respond?
Yes.
I agree with that, and that's why I think that a designated lobbyist would be appropriate. But one, okay. You know, not several. And you know, the one exemption begets another, and pretty soon there's no point in the law anymore. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any additional discussion? Any objections to the motion? Senator Farioli?
Thank you.
Motion passes. Senator Burdick, will you carry?
I would be happy to, Mr. Chair.
I will open and close that work session. Open a work session on SB 85.
Senate Bill 85 is proposed by the Ethics Commission. It would allow the Commission to keep confidential information when they're considering approving a motion to proceed on their own motion, and this is the same procedure they follow now when they receive a complaint. There's no amendment. We received a no revenue impact, but we did receive a minimal fiscal impact report.
Okay. And in accordance with the rules that this committee has and all committees have, we can actually move this to the floor. It would only be that if it actually had a stated revenue impact, could we not move it to the floor?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Can we move it to the floor secretly?
Secretly?
You know, in keeping with the spirit of the bill.
Confidentially. We'll move it confidentially.
Confidentially. Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to come forward for just a moment? It's a little bit rare, but I'm going to also open a public hearing and talk a little bit about what impact this might have on the agency, and since the agency has requested the bill.
Thank you, Chair. I'm actually surprised that there's a minimal fiscal impact because...
And just for the record.
I'm sorry. My name is Ron Burson. I'm the Executive Director for the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. We'd actually submitted a no fiscal impact statement on this. It really shouldn't change procedures of the agency. The agency will still investigate the complaints the same as they would previously. This just simply allows that confidentiality period to go back to the time that the agency receives the information that we start the process of the own motion with.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Questions. Is there a motion to approve on SB 85?
Mr. Chair, I'd move SB 85 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. SB 85 has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none. Motion passes. Close the work session. Who would like to volunteer to carry? Anyone? Volunteers? The chair will carry. Okay. Now we're going to we have no one signed up. But you will see that there have been a series of additional amendments that are going to be for the committee on SB 30. And the committee administrator is just going to briefly go through those new potential amendments. And then I'm going to ask you something that, remember when I talked about that we might have to meet on days other than Friday? So.
All right. The amendment 30-17 replaces the 30-2s. It's very similar. It allows the gift exemption when an official is representing a government body and replaces the language about speaking as part of a scheduled program. It also currently applies to reception, meeting, or meal, and this amendment would replace the word meal with event. 30-18 has been corrected and replaced with a new number. 30-19 replaces the 30-1s, also very similar, addresses the issue of legislative or administrative interest, removes the requirement that it be in any agency. The difference here is mostly the definition of legislative or administrative interest. Currently, it's in the action or vote of the person. This amendment would make it subject to a decision or vote of the person. 30-20 eliminates the quarterly report. And this replaces our other amendments relating to reporting. And 30-20 would simply have one annual report, but would include information that formerly was in the quarterly report. 30-21 restores the pre-SB 10 SEI income reporting requirements fully. So this also replaces our earlier amendments on this requirement. The earlier requirement was to list all sources of income that produce 10% or more of your total income, and additional information on the sources providing 50% or more of the household income.
Oh, this is the dash 21?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just
referring. Okay. 30-22 would delay implementation of the electronic filing system. Currently, that's extended to 2010 or 2011. This extends it to 2013.
If I might explain to the committee, when we were rebalancing the 07 budget, we took away the remainder, most all of the money that the commission actually had to do this that was remaining.
Okay. 30-23 replaces the earlier amendment 30-9. It's very similar wording. It allows a customary gift exemption for private employment. This amendment specifies also that applies to your volunteer work. 30-24 eliminates the entertainment ban. It would allow entertainment but make it subject to the $50 gift limit, and that limit would be per person on a single occasion and also $100 per year maximum from a single source. 30-25 comes from Senator Ferrioli. It would prohibit the Ethics Commission from making statements filed searchable on the Internet, but it would allow them on written request. Senate Bill 30-, the amendment 30-26, alters the gift exemption for not-for-profits. This is the correction to the 30-18s. It extends the exemption currently to 501c3s, also to 501c4s, and it also removes the requirement that those not-for-profits can only receive less than 5% of their funds from for-profit organizations.
Now, these are the amendments. There are two more amendments coming. Now I'll get to the other portion. We need to actually move sometime in the near future on this bill. So what I'd like to do, I don't know if it's going to fit into all of your schedules. I hope it does, that we will have an evening meeting on Tuesday at either, what's your preference, 5 o'clock, 5:30. The only purpose of that meeting will be to accept public testimony on these amendments, and we'll hopefully have the two other amendments by then. And then we will just have our regular meeting on Friday, and hopefully we'll be able to move that meeting up to 10:30 if the president cancels session on Friday. Which would be your preference, 5 or 5:30? I don't know your schedules.
So. Your call, Mr. Chair.
Whatever.
Okay. We'll just do it at 5 then. Okay. And so we'll see how many people show up and go from there. With that, that completes our business for today. The intent is, after that hearing, is we will do a composite amendment, actually, that will take all of these amendments, the ones that we hear from testimony, into a single amendment to amend the bill. So that's the intent, at least at this time. Anything else for the good of the order? Okay, that we are adjourned until Tuesday at 5.
Done with dispatch.